Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's a little book in the New Testament, and if you stop and think about it, it's really a remarkable and rather touching window into what we would call private life in the New Testament era. And here is the apostle taking the time to pen a letter to an individual, and he sends home to this individual, along with the letter, a runaway slave, and he recommends to the slave owner, take him back, not only now as a servant, but also as a Christian brother. So what occasions this letter, and how are we to understand Philemon, St. Paul, and Onesimus? Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
Well, by our reckoning, probably the better part of 5 years, you and I have been having more or less weekly conversations like this on Sunday school lessons, and this is going to be our last, not your last time on the program, but our last time talking like this around the Sunday school lessons from Growing in Christ, because very soon you will no longer be senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials at Concordia Publishing House.
That's right. This is my last week after 9 years at CPH, and I'm moving over to the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to take up the work of being the managing editor for Witness, Mercy, and Life Together.
What does that mean?
Great question. I'm still learning that, but my understanding is that is in line with the restructuring of the LCMS and bringing together things that were formerly done in different departments, World Mission, World Relief, Human Care, and other places, separate mailings, separate communications, and figuring out a plan and strategy for bringing that all under this theme, Witness, Mercy, Life Together, and singing that same song through all the work of the church. So that when you come home at the end of the day and your mailbox has not four different pieces from the same address, but maybe one that tells you about lots of different things and a lot to figure out how best to do that. But it's all to help get the word out about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to her members and beyond of how God is using this church in the world through Witness and Mercy and Life Together.
One more question. Are you going to be part of Witness, Mercy, or Life Together, or kind of part of all?
I actually will be part of the communications department, and formerly there were communications staff in different departments, and they've all been rounded into one large communications department. So there's lots of people in there, writers and videographers, and the Lutheran Witness Editor is part of that department. It's headed up by David Strand, and then there are other directors that work with the publicity of Synod and work with newspapers. You know, when there's big news to get out, there's someone that's their job, and it's all kind of divided. I think a lot of my work will really be getting that work, the news out about our mission efforts and our mercy efforts around the world. But lots to figure out how we're going to do this and what it'll all be.
Well, Godspeed. And turning to Philemon, this little book that is often overlooked in the New Testament, some people just don't know what to do with it. You say maybe just paying attention to how Paul describes himself in the very first verse gives us a key to understanding why he's writing this letter.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting thing that Paul describes himself as a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and And then he says, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. And he's speaking in this letter. It's a very personal letter from Paul to one of his fellow workers, fellow Christian, to Philemon, and specifically to him about a runaway slave. And here Paul, it is thought that he is under house arrest at this time, Paul himself, for being a proclaimer of the gospel, and likely in Rome. And so he understands being not his own, but being held in chains. And he's referring to this runaway slave who, during this time, Paul has encountered and apparently preached the gospel to him, and the slave has come to know who Christ is for him. And that is the essence of this letter, Paul telling the slave owner that he's encountered his runaway slave and imploring him to take him back and to forgive him and to see him now also as a brother in Christ, not just as his slave. And he really makes a plea for him. And the slave is Onesimus. And interesting little letter by Paul that has made it in the canon of Scripture, and what it says to us about vocation, I think, and how we regard one another within our vocations, and how being part of the family of God affects those relationships as well.
Now, this is connected to another book, very closely connected to Colossians,
mm-hmm.
and that book may, in fact, give us a few more people to toss into the cast of characters here.
Yes, that's true. Colossians is another book, another letter by St. Paul, and even in this book, he addresses Philemon and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, and that would be those who gathered in the house church there. And that's a wonderful reference, too, because we know that the early Christians worshipped before there were churches for them to worship, and in a time of persecution where they couldn't even think to build a church, they would gather in homes to hear the word read, to hear it preached, to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Sometimes they did that by dark of night and in secret, and other times when they were not afraid of being persecuted. Quite openly, but these are people, this letter to them, worshiping in this house church.
So that means that this kind of otherwise personal private matter between Philemon and his runaway slave Onesimus really is also now, because Onesimus has become mm-hmm. a Christian apparently under Paul's apostleship.
Yeah.
This is now an issue for the entire congregation.
That's right. And they would have known him because of his relationship to Philemon. And so, yes, Paul is addressing this to everyone and asking them, making the plea for them to see Onesimus beyond just as the slave of Philemon, beyond someone who has wronged his master, and that comes out in the letter. He's done something. He's run away. Perhaps he's stolen, because Paul speaks in the letter about repaying whatever is owed. And really then saying, you know, understand who he is now in Christ. Doesn't change his status as a slave, and that comes out that, you know, we don't see anywhere here where Paul is speaking against slavery and saying that he should be freed because slavery is somehow bad, but he is talking about how they view him as a forgiven, believing child of God, you know.
Now, it's just on that note, we're not here seeing Paul advocate slavery, but it's elsewhere in the New Testament that Paul even urges slaves that if they were slaves when called, remain slaves, remain obedient to your masters, as unto the Lord. So Paul is here far more concerned, or less concerned, with the institution of slavery than he is with Christians
exactly.
living in their vocation.
That's exactly right. And, you know, what seems strange to us, because of what we understand about slavery and in our own history, in our own Western American history, and what we know about slavery around the world, even in our time, that how could a book of the Bible, how could someone like St. Paul not take every opportunity to preach against the evils of slavery? But it was really in this culture 2,000 years ago, a society much different from ours, and we're looking at first century Rome, where slavery was really quite different. Of course, there were abuses. Of course, there were masters who did not care for their slaves as an overseer should. But they slavery was not considered a great evil. It was not necessarily permanent. Often, slavery ended when someone turned 30, and many times slaves were given education and were well educated, oftentimes compensated, and even had freedom day to day to go about the work that they had to do for their master. It wasn't like they were in a chain gang or something. And really, we can connect that less to slavery like we think about in the cotton fields in the South in our history, but more to sort of the employer-employee relationships that we might experience today working in a big corporation or, you know, in a company somewhere where there is someone who we are doing work under and following their direction and carrying out our duty.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Philemon and St. Paul and Onesimus and the desire that this runaway slave, Onesimus, be received back. In fact, Paul kind of casts the dice for Onesimus. He doesn't send the letter and then later send the slave. He sends the letter with the slave. He seems to have a lot of confidence in the fact that Philemon, the slave's master, will do precisely what Paul is asking him to do. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Why will churches often use a shell to symbolize holy baptism? The Issues Etc. book of the month for August is Behold the Lamb, an introduction to Christian symbolism. It's written by regular guest Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Behold the Lamb costs $9.49 plus shipping and handling. You can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. Behold the Lamb, an introduction to Christian symbolism.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about Paul's letter to Philemon on behalf of a runaway slave, Onesimus. He kind of casts the dice for Onesimus, really rather risky move from the slave's point of view, in that he sends this letter in the hands of the slave. In fact, two individuals, but Onesimus is among the message bearers here. That seems to indicate that Paul had a pretty high regard or a pretty good confidence that Philemon would follow his advice.
Yeah, that's right. He's calling this letter written to Philemon is written from a spiritual father, from a pastor to one of his sheep, someone he's catechized and raised in the faith himself, and he looks to Onesimus to Philemon as a significant person in this congregation and someone that Paul trusts and knows. And so the letter is written very personally, and Paul lays out very clearly what he's thinking about all this. He acknowledges that he's being bold, but being bold in Christ, and that he could command him to do what is required. But then he says, but for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. So he knows that he can, as the pastor, as the spiritual father, command this, but he's coming to Philemon, trusting that he knows what he'll do, and saying, I'm sending him back, and he says, sending my very heart. So he's letting Philemon know, this slave now is dear to me as well. So dear, I would have been glad to keep him and have him take care of me and serve me while I'm being imprisoned, but he prefers to send him and leave it to the heart of Philemon. And he says, this is why he was perhaps parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh, in the day-to-day life of the slave to the master, and he says, and in the Lord, now as a brother in Christ.
We should bear in mind, as part of the context here, that slaves running away was considered a very serious offense in the Roman world. I mean, it was a capital crime. You could
That's
be killed for running away as a slave.
That's right. So the debt here from the slave to the master, Onesimus, was in big trouble. He could have been killed for that. That's right. He could have been beaten. It can and should have, by all standards of that time, been a very terrible thing, and it was a very huge thing for him to risk that and run away. So to be sent back now by Paul with this appeal in hand, huge to go back and face him. It must have been a certain degree of fear in Onesimus's mind and heart about this, knowing what he deserved. And what a parallel for us, to us with our God, because we deserved death, and because of our sin, because of our offenses against our Heavenly Father. And in the same way, we can go to him boldly, because of his son Jesus, who appealed for us on the cross and won God's favor. And that's at the heart of this lesson. And if we teach it without making that gospel connection for our children, helping them see themselves in this, that we're all Onesimuses who were running away from God, and now we are his children because of Christ, and we can come to him and not fear, even though we're sinful, because our debt has been paid by Christ on the cross.
So that is in the background of this entire event.
That's
right.
I mean,
this is a real historic event in the life,
yes,
of the Apostle
real
Paul.
Real people. Mm-hmm.
But in the background of all of it, and really as kind of the subtext to why Paul would ever ask such a thing and why he could expect a Christian brother to grant such a thing, is that profound mercy that we've all been shown in Christ.
That's right. Paul's appealing to the gospel, and he knows what he's taught Philemon. He knows what he's taught the church there, that who they are, and who they are in Christ and what they deserve and what God's grace in Christ gives them. And so he can make this appeal, and he keeps referencing, you know, Christ Jesus and the fact that now all of them, including this runaway, are in Christ, beloved brothers in Christ. And he casts it that way, and he's right to do so, because that relationship does change things. Doesn't change the facts of slave and master, as is clear here, but it does change their relationship in terms of how they view each other in the family of God. And Paul is really appealing for grace, the very same grace that he knows Philemon has received from the Lord.
There's a strong theme in this short letter, and you've alluded to it, of debts that are owed to one another. And I think it's something we would do well to recognize in the Christian congregation today, that if I have a faithful pastor who preaches faithfully and is a faithful shepherd of the flock, I owe him. And we're not talking about monetary obligation, but there is this obligation. Paul will call it the obligation of the outstanding debt of love. But we kind of create this debt among one another. It is a good thing that I owe my pastor not only that respect and that love, but that kind of obedience to God's word.
That's right. And that's how Paul is appealing to him, that relationship that they've had and who he is as the pastor of Philemon and the others in that house church and that family. We do owe our Father in Christ, and those fathers in Christ for us are the pastors God has placed in our midst to preach his word, to hear our confessions of our sins, to speak the absolution of Christ and forgiveness for our sins. We do owe them respect and honor, and as Paul says in other places, referring to these spiritual pastors for us, that they are a laborer is worthy of his hire. This is their work among us, and we need to support them also physically. That's not in this letter, but it's all part of a reoccurring theme for Paul that helps us to understand our position in relation to our pastors and they to us.
Well, we're not only coming to the end of our time with you as our guest on the Sunday school lessons regularly every week, but we're coming to the end of the summer term for the Sunday school teachers who listen and love your contribution here, but you've got a housekeeping note for them. What is it, with about a minute?
Well, that's right. The summer materials, if you've been using them, you'll note there's 14 lessons, and we actually only had 13 Sundays this summer. So if you use the 14th one, you're going to be bumping the very first fall lesson, which is dated. Summer materials aren't dated, but the fall materials are. They're scheduled to start the first Sunday of September, and that'll have us back in the Old Testament, finishing out the progression of stories that began in Genesis and will ultimately take us through Esther. So September, the first Sunday of September, will begin a fall quarter of Old Testament stories, 13 weeks. So this is the last of this summer's stories, and you can save that next lesson as a bonus, use it another summer or some other time.
Now, I think it's tomorrow we're going to be talking with you, not so much in your capacity today, but as the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Behold the Lamb. What's in store for us tomorrow with only a minute, Pam?
Sure. Behold the Lamb is one of three books that were written to help school-age children and others to understand our life in the family of God, both in worship and how our lives are ordered in the church year. And those are two separate books. And this one, Behold the Lamb, helps us with our language of our faith, the picture language of our faith. And what do all those things that we see on banners and stained glass and in hymnals and on altar paraments, all those pictures and images, what do they mean and why do we bother? We're gonna talk about that, because that's what Behold the Lamb, an introduction to Christian symbolism, is all about.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ. If you've listened over these 5 years, you have learned one thing, and that is growing in Christ is indeed Christ-centered and cross-focused. Even the story of Paul sending a runaway slave back to his former master is an occasion for the gospel to be proclaimed to young and old alike. You can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and they will send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc., we'll spend the first half of it listening to our listeners from the Issues Etc. comment line. We've got some comments there on a variety of subjects, and we'll respond when the second hour starts up. Then, after about a half hour, it's time for a sermon review. There was a sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the occasion of the 25th ordination anniversary of Pastor Will Whedon, one of your favorite guests here on Issues Etc. We'll review that sermon in hour two of Issues Etc. Starts in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.